wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome in, everybody, and what a weekend it was. We talked about how important last week on Friday, how the Astros had already clinched the West, but they had to win at least one more game to get a home field advantage, and boy, did they do that. They did it a couple of times, taking care of those A's. Beat it, A's. You suck. Done with you this year.
Another almost year for you, A's.
Yeah, you just almost
were scrappy there for a little while, but you're not even as good as Seattle.
Yeah.
Now beat it.
Now beat it. And Seattle wasn't as good as Boston and New York. It's the Yankees and Red Sox in the wild card. And, you know, that's – and then the winner gets to play – now, Tampa had a chance to get the Yankees out of it.
I know.
How awesome would that have been for Tampa? I don't care about Tampa, but it sure would have been nice. Tampa was probably saying, hey, guys, let's win this one so we don't have to face the Yankees again. That would be totally sweet.
Or at least not as early as we're going to.
No.
Possibly.
But one game now to play Tampa, you're using up Gerrit Cole.
Remember, it's not last year's rules.
Right.
Not last year's setup in terms of remember last year was a little different setup in terms of how they were handling postseason rosters and with COVID. It's not the same COVID-y type stuff.
Yeah, but it's still the wild. One game.
It's back to the way that everything was across the board for playoffs. One game, everyone knows the rules. One bite of the pizza, everyone knows the rules.
That's it.
So one game, I like the Yankees. I'd love it if the Red Sox won. And Cole's throwing, right?
It's going to be Cole against Eovaldi, Houston boy. And it's at Boston. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, when you were a kid, Boston and New York, the Yankees and Red Sox.
Forever.
It was.
This has been forever. Look, as much as we get tired of the Boston-New York slobber fest that ESPN does, I mean, you know, it's a major deal. It's a thing. And I'm excited that it has its own day where we can watch this game and we don't have other baseball. You know what I mean? It's like, this is a game we get to focus on as a sports fan. Same way that Tampa and New England had its own time frame. There were no other games going on. Of course, we'll get to that in a little bit. But I think it's cool that it'll have its own time frame, its own game.
Now, I'm looking at ESPN's list of schedule for the postseason. And Thursday, it's the American League. The American League starts it out. And it's Chicago at Houston and TBD at Tampa Bay. Which game do you think they have first on the list of who will play for who will play the afternoon game and who will play the night game?
I'm going to say that the night game is not the Astros.
Not the Astros. Correct. That is correct.
We've gotten pretty good at seeing day playoff games here, dating back to the late 90s.
And then they've got the Friday matchups, October 8th.
Astros
and
play
there's it. Four games because the
okay, so the Astros are at 10 in the morning and
right,
then where
correct.
And then when
correct yeah. And then Tampa and then San Francisco and then the Atlanta and
what
Milwaukee.
Time are the Astros for real?
San Francisco will be the last game, although Dodgers San Francisco should be prime time.
The
first game will probably start around one, around
yeah, that's
noon,
what I think.
Noon or so,
and that'll be the Astros.
That'll be the Astros.
You're just predicting that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, That's more than
I'd rather be that than the second game. The second game is like that's like the second man in a four man in the relay. Your fastest is the fourth. Usually, your second fastest is the first.
I could certainly see though Atlanta and Milwaukee starting everything off because the smaller markets. You know, with the Chicago market, that helps a little bit.
What are the East Coast?
The East, it's Tampa and New York, probably prime time. And then the late game will be Dodgers, San Francisco.
Yeah, you're right.
We're or either, you know, or well, maybe St. Louis. I'll tell you what, Wainwright ain't going to be easy for the Dodgers in game in that wild card game.
No,
no, they're the Cardinals are playing inspired baseball.
Hey, I mean, how amazing would it be if the Dodgers got knocked out by the red hot Cardinals?
Right.
I mean, granted, the Cardinals had their win streak snap, but how incredible would it be if the Red Sox and the Cardinals beat those two teams? The two cryingest fan bases and the Astros fans are like, hi, guys.
Sipping
We're
tea.
Just going to be over here sipping our Kermity and our tea.
Or getting our popcorn out like Lane Kiffin did.
Oh, popcorn boy. Wow. That was good.
That was really good.
She had some of my old popcorn.
Yeah, that was old, that stale, was. Stinky popcorn that you
go
pooped
for
in,
it.
That you
Lane,
pooped in.
Lane, we're in the our own 6-yard line. Go for it. If we don't get this, we have no chance. Lane, you can punt. Like, you don't have to go for every fourth down.
No,
you don't have to go for every fourth down. Like, Lane, I think you're panicking a little bit here. You got an explosive offense.
So it's the White Sox and it's the Astros. We knew it was a foregone conclusion. They gave us a little bit of a scare with the loss on Friday night, but then they came back on Saturday, took care of business.
And how about
took
Sunday? What a way to end your season. You've got Yuli up to the plate, pinch hitting. They were sitting him out. He's trying to win a batting title. Yuli comes up. It's 6-6, tied up, last inning, and here's the pitch.
There it is. Line drive to left field. Ball game over. The American League batting champion for 2021, Yuli Gurriel, wins it with a walk-off single to left.
And it wasn't even close. He finished 319. Next closest was 311. Yuli Gurriel taking care of that business, and taking care of the batting title and winning the last game of the season in the ninth inning when they began with the blowing up the save. But, all right, I'm no wonder. Hey, it's all positive. It's all positive today for our Houston Astros. And they take on a pretty good baseball team. This is going to be – there ain't going to be nothing easy about this one. The White Sox have got a lineup that is comparable – to the Astros. You look at their up and down the order. Tim Anderson is a dude who's bigger now than he used to. Remember, Tim Anderson was the shortstop. He kind of was a skinny. He ain't no skinny short little shortstop anymore. Dude's all bowed up, and he's leading off. Luis Robert is second, and he can just flat out hit. They missed him for a lot of the season. Jose Abreu is a guy who is an all-star, perennial all-star, just a huge first baseman. Grandal is for most of the year was their best hitter. Jimenez, I mean, it is their now that they're healthy again. Remember, Jimenez was, I think it was in the first game of the season, he went up for a ball on the wall and he hurt his shoulder and he was out for a bunch. Yoan Moncada, he is also going to be I'm telling you, this lineup up and down is very comparable to the Astros. These two teams are pretty comparable.
They are. We're going to dig into this series as we get closer. We'll get guests on from Chicago and some baseball guests to really take a look at who the White Sox are and what they are. Their strength, obviously, is they're kind of just a quiet it's a quiet lineup with talent. They don't have a lot of superstars in it, but they've put together, obviously, a good team. You have an old school, two old school managers, Pawpaw and Tony La Russa. Does he get more old school than that matchup?
Well, that's
probably
what I said.
The most old
Maybe
school that's
Connie
ever.
Maybe Connie Mack versus Casey Stengel was an older manager matchup than
there's
this.
There's no chance that I bet you this is even older.
Well, I don't know. Those two were pretty damn old when they went by the. Well, I don't even know that they. I don't think they were in the same eras, but whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I don't know that you can find a much older matchup of managers in a postseason than we're going to have in this one. Dusty and hey, listen, La Russa was criticized. He had the drunk driving. The hire was criticized. What are you doing hiring an old guy with a team that could possibly win? And he had his issues mid-season.
He's
with
even
the
been
home
mad
run.
at his own team for showboating. Like, you deserve to get hit.
Well, no, he on a 3-0 pitch in a 15-run game, he homered. And Tony La Russa was like, that's bad. That's terrible. And everybody was like, Tony, you're just old. Shut up, old man. And old man has got them into the postseason, and they're pretty good.
How long do you think,
pretty
Connie,
good team.
How long is, because I'm ADD, this kind of stuff will just catch, these little shiny things will catch my eye. How long do you think Connie Mack was a manager for, let's say...
44 years.
He was in Pittsburgh. He was a manager for 2 years, from 1894 to 1896. That was before Tinkers to Evers to Chance.
Right.
How about Philadelphia when he was with the Philadelphia Athletics?
42 years.
Oh, close. 49.
40.
He managed for 49 freaking years.
It's a little different today because if he would have lost...
01 to 50.
Because I was in Baton Rouge this weekend, and everybody wants Orgeron fired two years after he wins the national championship.
I'm sitting here... We're sitting here. We installed our cameras for Signality. I'm working with the machine learning computer vision company, and we finally got our cameras installed, working through. And I'm like, please don't let Ed get fired. Please just win LSU. We're just getting started with LSU. Of course, LSU is one of those weird schools that their infrastructure may not change at all because they're Louisiana people. It's like whoever gets hired as head coach has to keep everyone in place. Like it's one of those schools that might do that. But there's so much to get to today. We haven't even talked about the Texans. It went pretty much exactly like I thought. Davis Mills was in over his head. And here's the thing. Wait a minute.
Let's just go a whole segment without talking about them.
Okay, yeah. That's fair. Right, that's fair. Right. I was like, well, we haven't even mentioned it, but that's probably
fine. I mean, this is Astros Day. This is you guys in. Let's go. This is Astros Day. We're going to talk Houston Astros because it's just.
Oh, it doesn't require a lot of talking. The game is what it is. No,
I mean, it was just.
We gave you money.
So
we gave you free money all week.
We were at Nick's yesterday, and Nick turned the game off with like a minute 10 to go because he wanted to look at the next games. And I was like, turn that game back on. We got to see the Texans finish. He was like, shut up. You're stupid.
Every bet had been completed except, I guess, the over.
What was it?
I don't even know. I know what the team total was for Buffalo, 33.5. So I'm like, are they going to get another touchdown? Yes, they are.
Yeah, thank you.
Because the Texans couldn't stop a running play.
No. They were on 33. Holy crap.
I know.
Yeah, you needed that. This is Astros. We ain't talking about that. I mean, that is just awful, awful, awful. So we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is we're going to leave you right now in this segment talking about GetRoman.com/John. Look, if you're looking for the best way to handle ED problems, and it's somebody I hear in commercials, do you know if you have ED? Yeah, you know if you have ED. If you can't do stuff, then you know you have ED, okay? There's a good chance, and there's a good chance you could use treatment, medication. And if medication is appropriate at GetRoman.com/John, then you get it. It ships to you free with two-day shipping. Now, you don't have to go to the doctor's office. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. It all ships to you, and you do it from the luxury and privacy of your own home because you do it on your laptop. And it's so easy. It is so wonderful. It's not embarrassing. You don't have to take off of work. You don't have to do all of that stuff. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of your ED. Go to GetRoman.com/John right now to get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. Best way to handle this thing, guys, GetRoman.com/John.
G'day, mates. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats!
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're Houston Texans. Just, I mean, this is more of what we expected, I guess. Because it was awfully surprising. It was pleasantly surprising how well they played in Game One. How well they played when they went up to Cleveland to play the Browns. That was pretty good. They kind of held their own. You know, Davis Mills didn't actually look all that bad. This. Yesterday is kind of what we've been expecting with this team. And we've been talking about, you know, how, well, maybe they're not going to get, maybe they'll, you know what, they're good enough to maybe get their fifth or sixth or seventh pick. Maybe they're not going to be able to get that quarterback. Well, they play like they did yesterday. Was this rock bottom? I don't know. Ask Davis Mills.
I guess there's only up from here. we'll take that as a plus, but we have a lot of better football that we're looking forward to ahead of us.
I don't know about that. Not sure. I'm not sure about that. That the last part of that statement. It was bad. It was really, really. This is the Houston Texans team without the talent, with giving it all away, and for nothing, for paying guys to go play elsewhere, getting rid of all your stars. This is getting mediocre free agents to come in here.
Stars is a relative term.
Well, no. J.J. Watt. He was Jadeveon Clowney. He was a star. DeAndre Hopkins. He was a star.
DeAndre.
They gave
a star.
Away all their talent.
Listen. I'm going to make it real easy for people who didn't get to see the game. Maybe you're driving back in town from a trip and you're like, God, I'm not going to get back in time to see the Texans play the Bills. Let me just give you, just very, very quickly, we're going to give you a highlight reel of Davis Mills.
Third and 10. Mills is looking that way. Now slings it across the middle. It's picked off. Intercepted by Tremaine Edmonds. Today in the first half, Mills tipped, and there's another pick. Micah Hyde's got the takeaway for the Buffalo defense.
You know, control the ball, find a way to score. No one wants to get shut out in the National Football League. So that, to me, is right now the one thing you want to do.
Buffalo is not laying back.
Up top, Mills picked off.
They're looking for their second of the season. Ooh. And it's intercepted.
So, in case it was too loud and you couldn't hear, it was INT studio call because the power went down to the broadcast team.
Yeah,
so the studio was taking it. It was just
there was
Bill
a blue
Cower.
Screen at Nick's place for a while, and I was like, excellent. We can't watch the rest of this game?
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then it was INT4. It was exactly like we thought it would be. The Bills had a game plan for Mills. They had enough. You know, he had a full game as starter last week, so now they had more game tape. You had the Bills defense, who right now is performing at a level that only four other teams have performed at in football history through the first four games, and that includes 91 Eagles, 2006 Ravens, 1990 Giants. Those are the three, and then the Chicago Bears, the 85 Bears, 86 champions. They're actually weren't at the level that they will be through the first four games.
Yeah.
Their first four game level was pretty good, it's going to get a lot better.
That story that you read before hey, look, the Bills are doing way better than the 85 Bears
through four
games. It's a little misleading.
Well, it's context. I mean, it is what it is. It's first four games that I don't know who the Bears play. We know how the Bears ended up.
Yeah.
We know how the Bears ended up. But do you know this wasn't Buffalo's greatest shutout? Their best shutout ever was 42-0, not 40-0 in terms of shutout. But the Texans, Mills looked completely, he was completely overwhelmed. He was making throws into, a lot of passes were batted down. He was making throws into coverage, did not look confident, did not get rid of the ball, took sacks when he shouldn't have. They had 9 yards of offense at half, I think, 9-14, something
because
like that.
Because there was four before that last run by Ingram.
Yeah.
More than doubled their output that last run.
And Buffalo kicked a bunch of field goals.
Yeah.
That could have been in the 50s.
Well, and listening to the post game on the way home from Nick, Grugier-Hill, how about the way you guys played red zone defense? Great. We were great.
Guys,
were awesome.
Camu, I know it wasn't what you guys wanted the final score, but, you know, you can take away the fact that you guys really ended up holding up. It was kind of a bend but don't break approach to your defense.
Not really.
That's like, and then he said, "No, F that. I don't want your stupid jewelry gift certificate."
No, that was Seth Payne.
Oh,
that did
that's
that.
Right. Who did that to you?
To me.
Live on air. Do you know that, Aaron?
Yeah.
Live on air, Seth Payne told John. John goes, "Oh," sparked up a little bit when he saw he got the gift certificate from Mark Klein. He goes, "F that. I didn't spark up. I want that." And like, okay, back to you, Mark.
Oh.
And John had live on the post game.
Yeah.
John's like, okay. Back to you, Mark.
Well, let's go back upstairs. It's just awful. Just awful. So that's what we're going to That's more like what we're going to do, right? Am I right or am I right? Is that the Texans, or are the first couple of weeks the Texans? When Tyrod Taylor comes back, will they be more like they were, or are they going to be more like this?
Well, Buffalo's a good team, a good defense. So I think they'll be more – I think it'll be in between. I don't know that you'll
get Buffalo's off to – Yeah, Buffalo's a good team, but they don't have to win 40
Buffalo's
to nothing.
Buffalo's a good defense.
Yeah, they don't have to win 40 to nothing, do they?
I think it'll be in between. No, they needed to win that much. That was fine. They will – I think it'll be somewhere in between. What you're getting right now, unfortunately for – now, I was pretty confident that Mills would have a bad game. This was not a good matchup. And then once the weather was bad, it was a wrap. But, and they got Ed Oliver back, and Buffalo was just, their ears were pinned. You could tell, that's like when the football team gets to play, you know you're playing against a weak team for homecoming, and you're looking to just completely annihilate that team and get your highlight reel stuff and get your stickers on your helmet and everything. The Texans were the team you play to get stickers on your helmet. Like, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a skull and crossbones. I'm going to get a POW sticker.
Honestly, they would be homecoming.
Yeah, I mean, that was a homecoming game for them.
Yeah,
that was homecoming. Yeah. So it was a beating, and it was expected. The thing for Davis Mills now is he's got New England. He's got the Colts coming up. He needs to play well, because if he doesn't play well, if he keeps playing poorly, that's going to be a wrap, I think, and the Texans will be looking at quarterback this year in the draft. I just don't think he can afford to have three bad games in a row. Tyrod Taylor comes back, because then – your sample size on Davis Mills, you'll say, well, you know, he wasn't that bad against Carolina, but ultimately, how did he do? And then he was okay in the second half against Cleveland, but Tyrod Taylor was much better. I think they have a tough decision on their hands, because this isn't a great quarterback draft, it doesn't look like, although some things are starting to kind of come into shape. But it's yesterday was a reminder how far you actually are away. I mean, you're really, really far. You weren't even remotely competitive.
No.
Not even at any level.
No.
Couldn't stop a run. They're, Buffalo is still not even playing their best football yet.
No. And, you know, I mean, I hear Coach Cully getting, hey, we're going to open up the offense this week. We really feel good about it. We put more on Davis's plate, and it's all good. Everybody, it's all 11 of 21, 87 yards, 4 interceptions, 3 sacks. 1 rush attempt, 2 yards, and 1 fumble. Holy cow. I think they might have loaded up his plate way too much. Get back to simple stuff. Listen, it was the Bills. We knew that they were going to get their ass handed to them. We didn't know it would be this bad, though. That was so overmatched. It was like a college team. Honestly, there might be college teams that could have performed better than the Texans did yesterday. And, and I'm anti, college. Alabama might have played the Bills closer. He might have played the Bills closer than the Texans did yesterday, because that was awful, awful, awful. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, if there's anything that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to talk about the Texans, I guess, today. If you want, that's fine. You know, you can. We'd prefer you call in and talk about the Astros. Christy Ryken is going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. She covers all of our teams here in Houston for the AP. So we'll get a rundown of what I would imagine. I think she was at the Astros yesterday, right? Yeah. Thank God. She didn't go to Buffalo. Why would you go to Buffalo for that? Who would those fans that were in the stands with the Texans fans, there were about 3 or 4 of them there that with the clear ponchos on and rooting for their Texans. How is there a worse way to spend your money than to go to Buffalo to watch that? Is there a worse way to just burn your money? Honestly, going to Buffalo, first of all, for what? For who?
Maybe investing in Blockbuster 12 years ago?
To go and watching and putting your Texans jersey on to go and watch 40 to nothing? Is there
how many fans were there?
Can you see them? On the broadcast, they were like, Texans fans were like, I think that Davis Mills might have completed maybe a pass.
I'll be honest. I had it, so I recorded on
a separate. They might have got a first down.
So I recorded on a separate receiver. Then I was at channel 702, which has 8 games on it. So I'm watching 4 across top, 4 across bottom. Texans are in the upper left-hand side. I mean, I'm watching that purely for spread purposes. There's not a lot of excitement and interest. There was more interesting games. How Justin Fields did in game 2 was interesting to me. There were some very interesting games for me. Carolina versus Dallas was very interesting. For me, can the Colts pull out of their tailspin? Like, a lot of the things, we can get to it a little later in the show,
let's
but
do that after
there's a
Christy.
Lot more interesting stuff than what was going on in Buffalo, I can promise you that.
Christy Reichen joins us on the other side, and then we'll talk about all of that.
So I was out on the patio. TexasCustomPatios.com is the website. Go look at the before and afters. I can tell you about how the great craftsmanship, but I think the pictures will do a much better job of giving you an idea of what we're talking about here. Look at the before and afters. And they have a ton of before and afters. They've done thousands of jobs. So your backyard, whatever the design of your backyard, when I say backyard, it's more than just your house and the structure of your house, because they will build onto your house, or they can build freestanding. But when they build onto your house, their design team, led by Stephen Schell, the CAD drawings they give you, you'll know exactly what it's going to look like. It's a perfect rendering. And then it really looks like it was there from the very outset. And it makes your backyard look spectacular. And they can do other things in your backyard also to really dress it up. But you are going to get more than what you pay for. You're going to get it in terms of value and in terms of enjoyment. And when you look at the before and after, you'll see, wow, this really is transformational. And that could be yours. Turn your house into a home with my good friends over at Texas Custom Patios. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance being joined right now by Christy Reichen, AP sports writer. She covers the Astros, Texans, Rockets, A&M. She covers it all in the area. Christy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you guys this morning?
It is great to talk to you here. Let's talk a little bit about this Astros team, Christy. This is a pretty good matchup. I think these two teams are pretty darn similar up and down the lineup. The White Sox are awesome. This Astros team, we know what this is. And I don't know, did this weekend, did that tell us who the center fielder is again? What a weekend for Jake. He hit well. He drove in runs. He scored runs. He did it all this weekend. There's been some kind of question mark if he was going to be the center fielder. What do you think?
He had a tough time, but it looks like he bounced back this weekend. So if I were guessing, I would say he's going to be the guy. So it's good that he was able to finish off the season strong, so he didn't go into the playoffs kind of on that tough streak that he'd been on.
Yeah, he'd been on a really, really tough stretch. That was September. October. Dude, he's only hitting .417. Is that good enough for you?
Yeah, in October, man, he's killing in October.
He's killing it. He is. Well, he's Mr. October in the city of Houston, so that's good. And what about the way that they use Greinke? And as tough a time as he's had, Christy, I guess he's coming out of the pen. How do you use Greinke out of the pen?
I think he might be one of those guys, like if the starter can only go 5 innings, maybe he could be the bridge to get them to the back end of the bullpen. And I think having a veteran like that with, you know, all of his experience in that position might be really big for this team, because you know how it is. Obviously every inning counts, and sometimes it's hard to get to the back end of the bullpen if your starter has a tough time.
Absolutely. How fun is it to interview Greinke?
I wouldn't say he's my favorite interview, but, you know, it's interesting. He's actually way better on Zoom, I guess, maybe because we're not all standing there staring at him. So it's been kind of interesting to see the difference in him whenever where he's just on the computer as opposed to us all standing there staring at him.
Yeah, no question. We know it's McCullers in game one. How does the rest of the rotation play out?
It seems like it will be Framber after that. And I think he's had a good year, and I think he'll be a good second guy. I like Garcia for the third spot. I think he's been really good. Obviously, he's young, but I think he's a solid guy, and I think he could have a big be a big key for this postseason.
I'm really interested to see. John and I have been talking about the pitching situation and who's going to make the roster, who's not going to make the roster from a bullpen standpoint. I think this is going to be interesting, watching Zach Greinke come in and struggle a little bit from a bullpen standpoint. Oh, well, everybody who pitched yesterday gave up runs, Blake Taylor too. But it's how do you see this? How do you see who's out? Who's off the playoff roster?
I feel like that's a really tough one. I think Dusty and James Click are going to have some tough decisions coming up. I don't know about Yimi García. I haven't really seen. I don't know that he's really a guy that could help them a lot in the postseason. But again, I think there's a lot of guys that are kind of close, so it's going to be tough to figure out who's not going to make it.
Yeah. What about the way Javier's thrown?
Obviously he's been up and down, but I think he could be a good piece too, because he's kind of done it all for them. And I think, you know, like, again, sometimes you're going to need the guys to eat up more than one inning, and he could be that guy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you can't bring him in with anybody on because of how wild he's been all season.
Right.
That's so he's got to start an inning, and then, and he really has, I don't know. He's not the same guy that we have. Well, maybe he turns late into that in the postseason. Remember last year in the postseason, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, so maybe he'll morph back into the guy that he was then, and then that would be great for the Astros.
Yeah, unbelievable. This White Sox team, as we mentioned, is pretty darn good. It was good to see the bats going after falling asleep, wasn't it? I mean, it looked like, oh, my goodness, is this how they're going into the postseason, as bad as they were offensively against Tampa and in the start of this series?
It was crazy. I was like, every day, I was like, okay, today's the day they're going to clinch. And then, like, was 2 days in a row, they got no hit through, well, 1 through 5 and then 1 through 6. So it was the opposite way, 1st, 6, and then 5. And I was like, oh, this is not going to work very well in the playoffs. But it seems like they got it going. Obviously, Correa started hitting really well. And, I mean, I think we all know if they're going to do well in the playoffs, he's going to have to lead them and get hot, because he's such a – I think he's Mr. October instead of – your guy from earlier.
Jake Myers? Slow down, yeah. Christy. Does he have an 1,100 OPS in October?
He's probably had a higher one before. But
yeah, no, he doesn't.
What about the post-game stuff with Carlos Correa? You know, it feels like there were some people who were really angry at how the Astros and how Correa and the Astros, how everything just feels like it's already final. Like there's not going to be an offer to Carlos. Carlos is gone, and he just wants to say thanks to the fan. I know Mark Berman had a video with Carlos talking directly to his time in Houston, how it will always be special. I will be honest, this is a little disappointing in terms of the way that Carlos and the entire Astros organization, I guess by proxy, you know, through not doing anything, how it's a little bit of a damper on this run is the specter of Carlos Correa leaving.
I actually sat down, he and I, and spoke to him for about 10 minutes before he made that video with Berman. And I know that he really wants to stay here. Like, that's not in question. But I think he's kind of, like, resigned to the fact that they're not going to, you know, pay him what he believes he's worth. So I think he's kind of seeing this as his send-off. And he wants to, you know, do all he can to help the team win another title. But I think he's just to the point where he doesn't think they're going to be able to pay him. And he said he talks to Altuve all the time. And Altuve keeps telling him, they're going to come through, they're going to do it, they're going to keep you. But he just doesn't seem to think that they're going to be able to.
Yeah, I don't know. It's maybe a little late in the game for that. It's funny. My buddy says, how often do you see the number one overall pick who doesn't get a contract with a big organization? I mean, this happens in Kansas City. This happens in Oakland, you know, where teams can't afford it. But how often do you see a guy not re-signed because he's too good? It's you stunk, we'll let you go. And, you know, he's Carlos, the number one overall pick. You're just too good. We're not going to pay you here. This is odd. This is an odd situation.
For sure. And I asked him, I was like, I mean, I guess, I don't know if you talk to guys like this, but I was like, does it hurt your feelings at all that they didn't, you know, make this a priority and they didn't already have this handle? And he's like, you know, it's business. I can't be upset. But I do think I hurts him because he, like you said, I mean, he's the face of the franchise. He's been great on and off the field since he got here. I mean, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't want to pay him. I mean, fans love him. So it's just, I told him, I was like, I can't imagine this team without you because he's been such a huge part of this team for so long.
How does this locker room compare to 17?
Well, you know, it's just so hard to like put your finger on it since we're not allowed to go into the clubhouse. You know, like in 17, we're in there every day. So, you know, it's hard to kind of compare the two, but I mean, I think, it's a little different because like they had more of the older guys that were, you know, leaders around. But now I think like, I mean, I know Carlos is not, he's still pretty young. He's been here a long time, but he's still pretty young. And I think, so it's more of like a younger feel of like, the leaders in the clubhouse, but I mean, still they have so much experience and they've been there, done that. So I think it's a very calm and collected clubhouse, and I don't think no one in there is going to be overwhelmed by the big stage.
No, and I tell you what, one of the things going into the post, we said it all year long, you know, they weren't lamb killers. They struggled against bad teams, and they beat, you know, they just crushed good teams. So that's a real positive that these guys ain't scared of that stage.
Oh yeah, they definitely rise to the occasion. Like, I mean, obviously they went 5-5-2 against the White Sox this season, and we all know that the White Sox are a really good team, so if they keep playing up to their competition, then they should do pretty well here in the playoffs.
It's going to be fun, that's for sure. Christy Rieken, AP sports writer right here on ESPN 97.5. Well, we appreciate you hanging with us, Christy. That's a lot of fun, and have fun this playoffs.
Thanks. Have a good day.
All right, there's Christy right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jerome Solomon's going to join us a little bit later. Let's go over, when we come back, what happened around the NFL yesterday, other than the Texans. That'd be great. Let's do something other than the Texans.
You sure?
And what happened there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you want to bet on the games? I bet yesterday. Ooh, winner, winner, and chicken and dinners. That's right. Because, that's right. Because I picked winners. All you got to do, my friends, is pick winners, and you are going to get paid. You're going to win. You're going to get paid. And oh, by the way, they are going to match any deposits that you make. I don't care if you've been on my bookie, if you're just getting on my bookie, if you've never been on, if you, whatever the case may be, you put in up to $1,000. You can put in more than $1,000, but they'll match up to $1,000. Now you got to play. You don't just get to, you know, oh, okay, you match $1,000. Now I'm going to take it right up. No, there are rules and regulations, obviously, that you're going to have to play, and you're going to have to play that money. And then when you're done playing that money, then you can get your money out. That's how it works. If you're looking for the best way to win, get paid, play, and up to $1,000 match, go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 7:45 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I had a good day yesterday picking games. I missed two games yesterday. One was because I changed, when I heard Justin Fields was starting, I changed my pick. The other one was I picked the Panthers because I can't pick the Cowboys. I picked the Cowboys last week, and it just made me want to vomit. They're a good football team. Cowboys are a good football team.
Yeah. Cowboys are, Dak looks really good.
Yeah,
the
really
Cowboys
does.
Offense looks very difficult to stop. They're better defensively because they may have the defensive player of the year in Trayvon Diggs. Phenomenal ball skills. He now a great instincts. When you throw in his direction, you're in trouble. I mean, he's got 5 interceptions already this year. He was player of the month last month, had 3 interceptions, headed into the game, 2 more yesterday.
Yeah.
So now, and along with Jake Myers, looking to be players of the month in their respective sports for right. October. Jake Myers in baseball, obviously.
Right.
And then, of course, Trevon Diggs. But yeah, Zeke, you know, this is the reason I went after Zeke. I targeted him in our fantasy auction that we have. I watched Hard Knocks. the first episode. The only episode I watched was the first episode because I had to do. I had to talk about it on a Move the Sticks podcast I was on, and Zeke lost weight. He came in lighter. Even on the video, you could see on Hard Knocks, he had a lot of lateral bounce and quickness and acceleration. I thought, okay, he's come in more focused. He's ready to roll, and he looks really good. But so does Tony Pollard. Dude, Pollard is a good running back.
Yeah, he's a really good running back.
Pollard and the
I don't
Zeke,
think you miss a beat.
You hardly miss. I don't even. I can't even tell who is who sometimes at the initial handoff. Right now, they've got two really good running backs. Dak's playing well. Their offensive line, I think, still is, you know, can get a little bit better. But and then they're super dangerous. They're super dangerous at wide receiver. And Dalton Schultz is playing well at tight end for them. So, yeah, Dallas is good. You had Philadelphia come in. Brother KC went in and just blew out Philly's secondary. But I thought that Jalen Hurts played pretty well, threw the ball well. Hung in there for a while, but it was just too much firepower, so they lost. Washington won late against Atlanta, got a late touchdown to win that one, and then the Giants won in overtime. But Dallas is clearly head and shoulders better than anybody else in that division.
Yeah, the Eagles are scuffling. They scuffled again yesterday, but they had Kansas City, so that's understandable. They looked like they hung for a while, and they looked like they were, you know, but Kansas City was just way too much. Yeah, the East is, I don't think there's any question, it's the Cowboys. Washington is feisty, but their defense isn't nearly as good as it. I mean, it's not only is it not good, it's bad. Their defense is bad, which is kind of surprising. Although the Falcons, you pointed it out. These are two teams that run more plays than anybody, right? They play faster. Both those teams play faster. So that's kind of a big deal when you're looking at under-overs. The Colts go into Miami, and they win that football game. So in the division this week, the Jags lose again. They looked much better, though, against Cincinnati. Trevor Lawrence actually looks like he's starting to get it. That's problematic. The Colts win in Miami. The Titans lose at the Jets. Holy crap.
I watched that one. So, wow, I was watching all of them. Yeah. But it was, you know, Zach Wilson looked like Zach Wilson in the first half. Like, okay, this guy's a real problem for the Jets. They should have lost that game last year, and they'd have Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
They secretly, in that building, they have.
Oh, of course they do.
They have regret.
Of course they have regret.
I checked in over there.
Of course they do.
Yeah. You know, you never want to not win. But if there was ever a time not to win. But in the second half, Zach Wilson played really well.
Yeah.
Zach played well. You had Tannehill did not play all that great. The defense did not play all that great. And yeah, what a win to keep the Texans' hope alive for a division championship and a long playoff run.
Well, you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance, John. They've got that win over a division foe.
They're only a game out of first.
That's right. What is Jacksonville now? 2-2?
Jacksonville's 0-4.
Tennessee is 2-2.
Yeah.
Colts are 1-3.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's 0-4. Texans 1-3. Who says this is the worst division in football?
Nobody. Nobody says
no
that.
No one's saying that.
Just because Tennessee goes to the Jets and loses?
Yeah, just because you lose to a team that's won two games now in the last 20 games, just because they're 2-18 doesn't make that a bad loss.
Well, how many wins did they have all season?
They had 1 of 16 last year.
Yeah.
And they have 1 this year.
Oh, yeah, right,
they're
right,
two
right.
And maybe even more because
go back to the year before.
Yeah, I'm guessing it wasn't great.
No, I'm guessing not either. How about the NFC West? The road teams go and take care of business. The Seahawks beat the 49ers. Surprise, surprise, Jimmy Garoppolo is hurt again. Trey Lance had to come in, but the Seahawks do just enough. And the Cardinals look good going to the Rams.
Golly.
And taking Kyler care of that Murray, business.
Kyler Murray right now is your front runner for MVP.
Yeah, he should be.
And Cliffy is building. You know, I still think there's some holes in the defense, but they ended up – but they jumped on top of him early. That was a start-to-finish whipping. Like, Arizona went into their place, and that's an Arizona team that struggled in the first half against Jacksonville. That's what's so weird about football is – sometimes you just play to the level of who you're playing. It's just what it is. I think the Rams came out a little bit flat, but Arizona was ready to roll, and Arizona just that might just be a bad matchup for the Rams. Because right now you look at what Tampa Bay has looked like the last 2 weeks offensively against the Rams and against New England. Granted, in the rain, no Gronk, so I get all that stuff. But then you look at Arizona throughout the course of the season. I think the Rams ran into I know Tampa's the defending champs, but right now the more explosive team is the Arizona Cardinals. They do look good right now. Mm-hmm. It's a J.J. Watt mojo. He just brings – you see what happens when you bring – A nice person on your team. Nice things happen.
I don't know that that's the case.
Karma. Oh, you don't believe in karma? Karma also is a good thing, John.
Well,
it's not just bad things where people have, you know, get hit by cars because they did something, pushed an old woman down and a car hits them. That's just not karma. Sometimes karma is good. Like, oh, we signed J.J. Watt and win every game.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes karma is good.
Okay.
Maybe karma isn't when you spit on a baby and then somebody hits a Coke machine and it falls on you and kills you. Yeah, that's karma, but it doesn't always have to be bad karma, does it?
No, I guess.
You signed
on babies.
You traded for Osuna? Karma. Karma.
What the hell's happened since then?
Bad karma happened.
What the hell's happened since then? And then the other late games, the Ravens. Ravens are a pretty good football team, bro. I mean, going now, the Broncos were fool's gold because of who they played. At that 3-0 was the weakest 3-0 I think in the league with who they played. Them and the Panthers had an easy road to 3-0. But the Broncos they found Lamar. Hey, Lamar is pretty good. You know what? If Kyler is number one. And right now, Lamar is going to – it won't be long until Lamar is right behind him as far as MVP looks. Now, let's take it with a grain of salt because this is how – what were the Cardinals last year, 6-2? And then they faded hard down the stretch?
Yeah, that's what they – we got to see if they avoid that.
Yeah.
If they are built to last.
And the Ravens always start out really strong too and fade.
Faders.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh starting out strong this year. With that win against Buffalo.
And how it goes. They're 0-3.
Not
something.
As good.
Yeah.
No, Keyshawn, and on the way in, Keyshawn and, the network's called the Dan Orlovsky Network now.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Also known as ESPN, where it's only Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark. They're on, and Stephen A. Smith. Those three are on every show.
Right. As well as
that's all. You can't see ESPN without one of those three. And they had an interesting debate. Interesting for a reason to me. Dan, the question was posed, okay, so now what do you do with Ben? Dan's like, he's got to go. Like, you got to bench him. And Keyshawn said, nah, you can't in season. You can't do this. And the more it went on, Keyshawn was basically admitting his was an emotional thing. Like, Ben's been there the whole time. He's been your guy. You don't have anything behind him.
Well, what is behind him? That's right.
Well, it's Haskins and Rudolph.
I know. What's?
It's not necessarily a better option. And that's the problem, is Keyshawn saying, you don't have a better option. Why do this to the guy where you're basically in his last year going to do this? But if I'm the Steelers, and if you're not playing, and if you approach this like a video game and there's no emotion involved at all, if you take the emotion of Ben being your quarterback forever and Kevin Colbert being a guy who drafted him and, you know, the Rooney family and Mike Tomlin and the whole nine yards, you take all that away and you just get right down to, you know, what do you think about Ben Roethlisberger giving you a chance to win? It ain't good. Ben Roethlisberger, like, could you do worse with Mason Rudolph? Could you do worse with Haskins?
He had Juju running up the seam, and he was wide open.
That was a touchdown.
Yeah.
That was a touchdown. He missed. That is a basic throw. Yeah. He's missing basic throws now. Ben is a problem. I don't think it's any better on the bench, to be honest with you. But this is what happens when you're negligent of the quarterback position, and you know that your quarterback is hit. This isn't new. Anyone who I got bitched at on for mock drafts for having quarterbacks, you know, going to the Steelers. It's not these guys. First of all, you added Haskins late last year, but Mason Rudolph was never the answer, and Ben Roethlisberger's always hurt. Like you, and he hasn't been the same. When you're negligent for quarterback, now you're in a spot where you're desperate. Now, when you hit the offseason, you are an absolute desperation. If you're the Steelers, you have to have a quarterback. And you know what? Maybe Keyshawn's right. If it's not any better on the bench, let Ben just go out. I know you got a good defense, but what can you do? Like, what can you do?
Yeah.
It's not on your
bench.
It
was last year that Myles Garrett with the helmet, right? That was last
year.
No,
it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that team, though, you know, I don't think you throw in the towel four games in. You got to do something. Listen, they competed for a playoff spot with Ben Hurt and Mason Rudolph and Duck, whatever his Duck name was. He was out there as well. Duck Hodges? Or wasn't that his name? Duck Hodges?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. They were competing for a playoff spot. You can't just go, oh, we'll just keep running Ben out there because. No, for what? For who? You've got to try. You're going to lose that locker room if you just say, it's okay. No, we're not going to try to win. They fought their asses off a couple of years ago with Ben on the bench, with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, and they almost made the playoffs. So you can't just say, no, we got to do this for Ben. No, you got to try to win, and Ben ain't winning. Ben, you ain't winning nothing with Ben, that's for sure. All right, 713-780-3776. On the other side, we get back to baseball. We get back to our Astros, and we get back to and the rest of the playoff and what it looks like right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bottom of the hour, Jerome Solomon is going to join us.
Hey, I want to tell you about a new sponsor, and I'm really excited about this spirit. I love talking about spirits and spirits I use, and Maestro Dobel is one of those spirits that I use, their tequila. They're the ones who actually sponsor Carlos Ortiz. He's the guy who won the Houston Open last year. He's the 2020 winner. This is sourced from a single state. It's made in Tequila, Mexico. It's made in Tequila, Mexico. And the Doble distilled is aged in European white oak barrels. And, you know, they've got the silver. They've got the Añejo, the Reposada. There's a lot of different types. But the one I have here on the camera on Twitch is the Diamante. And the Diamante is kind of like the headliner. And one of the reasons it's a big headliner is because it is the very first Cristalino ever. It's a type of it's charcoal filtered. It's a type of spirit. It's a manner in which you distill. And they're the ones who created that category. And it is a smooth, delicious, flavorful tequila, one that can be used in cocktails or as a sipping. And of course I absolutely recommend it as a sipping tequila for sure. There are so many different variations for you to check out and choose from at your local liquor store. Make sure and check out Maestro Dobel and check out the Cristalino known as Diamante.
ESPN 97.5.